And this afternoon, one of you is a devil. Yeah. Church growth. That this conference is a church growth conference, and so we are trying to grow our churches. Hitherto, we know the scripture Matthew 16:18, where Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So we know that the gates of hell are fighting us in our churches. And then we also know Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 12, where we understand that the weapons of our warfare are not, no, for wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against darkness, spiritual darkness in high places, rulers of the world and spiritual wickedness in high places. So many of us, our prime enemy in church growth has been the devil and the principalities. And when you are growing your church and it's not growing, I mean, I've been there before. You are growing, but it's not growing. You are doing everything, but it's not working. Then we turn our attention to the powers and the principality. There's a river behind my church with a principality in the river. So when I'm very, very depressed, then I fight him. Who else can I fight? You know, he's the one who's a cloud over this area, who's fighting us. So that has been many of us, we have battled church growth, fighting invisible forces, fighting the spiritualities. There's one of our pastors, he was, one of his members was a cleaner in the church. And one morning, I think he came early in the morning to come and pray. Then as he prayed, he fell asleep while praying. How many have fallen asleep while praying before? Oh, then it's common in that guy's ministry. He fell asleep at the back. And while he was asleep, he woke up to see that the cleaner had come to clean the hall. And the cleaner was a lady. So she was cleaning, sweeping. Then she stopped sweeping, look left, look right, and then look left again. Nobody was there. Then she went to the front row, removed her pyoto, and then with a bare bum, sat on every chair in the front. Not here. With her bare bum. Then she sat, then she rubbed her buttocks on the chair. Next chair, rub the buttocks. Next chair, rub the buttocks. And the guy was watching. He said, "Hey, what is happening?" So he was afraid. So he crept out of the church slowly. Then he got down, got outside. Then he ran to the pastor's house. He said, "Pastor, come and see something. A certain thing is happening in the church." And the pastor said, "What is it?" Then he told the pastor what was happening. You know what the pastor told him? "When you have more serious problems, come and see me. This one is not a problem. Bare buttocks on chair." He said, "How can this affect the church?" That's the pastor. He said, this bare buttocks on a chair. What? He said, no, this is not a problem. Look, when you have a real problem, come and see me. It's not a problem. Somebody says, "I'll curse you with eggs." Say, "The egg, bring it, let me eat it. Boil it or fry it. Just don't drop it on the ground. It's a waste. Give it to me." Somebody has killed a chicken and cut their head and scattered the blood over this thing. Tell them to throw the chicken at you. Yeah, throw the blood and the chicken. We'll catch it all. That is not the problem. Satan's greatest weapon is not the occult. His greatest weapon is not witchcraft and juju and all those things. If that was his greatest weapon, by now, many of you are dead. You don't do quiet time. You don't pray at night. You eat everywhere. You don't say grace. By now, many of you are dead. If the power of evil to kill was as real as that, the way you make it sound, oh, the church is finished by now. You don't come for all night. You don't come for a prayer meeting. You are just walking around by heart. Tell anybody by heart, walking around by heart. No, no, no. You wouldn't be alive. But that power is not the power that is destroying the church. Amen. John chapter 6. So, what verse 70? This statement that Jesus made, I mean, which is the title of the book that the prophet has given us, is an amazing statement. Amen. It is so confrontational. And what I find most interesting is what happens next. John 6, 30, 70. Jesus answered them and said, "Have not I chosen you, and one of you is a devil?" This afternoon, I want to tell you that the words of Jesus will never fail. The truth of the gospel, of the Bible, is everlasting. It means that this scripture, as it was true in those days, it is true in our time. And so this afternoon, I have the pleasure to announce to you that one of you here is the devil. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. One of you here. Maybe only one here. Or maybe the one who's the devil didn't come this afternoon. But one of us is the devil. Amen. And you see, it's very interesting. Jesus didn't come into existence when he was born. He was there with the Father before he was born. He says, John chapter, I think 15, he says, 16, give me the glory that I had with you before the world began. And so he was there way before this world began. And he was there at the creation. So Jesus was there when Lucifer was created. And he was there when Lucifer manifested all his misbehavior. And he saw it all because he was there. And he saw all that Lucifer did. And he was there when he was cast out of heaven. So the truth is, Jesus knows Lucifer. He knows him. I know him. When I see anybody, this is him. But we don't. But we don't. We are easily deceived by Satan and his behaviors. And he can easily prophet, and you will believe. He can show himself in many different disguises. When you read Rick Joyner's book about when God walked the earth, how Lucifer appeared to Jesus, very sympathetic, very sorry for Jesus, feeling all their hunger and their pain. And so he appears in many, many different forms. So for us, it's difficult to understand and see who he is, but not for Jesus. And that is why he could easily identify there were 12 men standing there with him. But he could easily identify of those 12, one of them is a devil. And see, they had been together with him for a while. But the other 11, which is most of us, couldn't appreciate what he was saying. I mean, Jesus said clear, and you see, it is so clear. It is so clear. I don't know how else you can say it, that there's a devil here. I mean, try and use your, those who went to a good English school, try and say it in a different way. That is more clear than what he said. What else can you say? One of you is a devil. I mean, okay, 11, 12 minus 11 is one. So of the 12, not 11. Or 11 are not devils. That is more complicated now. Yeah, 11 are not devils. So now, the last one, is it becomes complicated. But Jesus, you see, Jesus recognized him immediately. And he knew him for who he was. So he said that one of you is a devil. Amen. And that is what that is what we have to fight now. If you remember yesterday, we said of the why loyalty? Because we have to fight the fifth column, the enemy with us. And so there is one of our own with us. Now, this is maybe the important part. In John 6:17, when Jesus told them, one of you is a devil, what the disciples do with this knowledge? What did they do? Nothing. Nothing. Even John 12. Let's go to John 13. When Jesus once again said, one of you will betray me. And then Peter said to John, Charlie, John, ask him, who is it? You are saying one of us will betray him. Ask him, Charlie, who is it? So John said, Charlie, Braji. Who? You are saying somebody here is the one to betray you. Who is it? And Jesus said, Charlie, Johnny, it is the one I will give the soap to after I have dipped it in the soup. I think it was a Ponchikakra. I mean, they must have had Kumasi. I think so. I'm not sure. So he dipped the... Is it fufu or bread? He dipped it in the soup and gave it to Judas. What sign again do you need? But still, there was no reaction. You know, what I want us to pick up from this reality is that sometimes the signs of disloyalty of a person are so clear before our eyes, but you can't accept it. You can't believe that this guy is the Rango among us. I mean, it takes open rebellion before you accept that this guy is a Rango. But before we get to that point, there are many other stages. And for many of us, it is the signs are right before your eyes. You call the guy, he won't come. We're having a meeting here, and you know that he's having no other meeting. He's at home. Pastor or shepherd or whoever he is, he's at home. We are having church service and we are having fasting, and you see your friend eating at the roadside. Yeah. I mean, the signs there, the way they have been given to us clearly, there are so many, you can't miss them. You can't miss them. But for many of us, it is too difficult to accept that somebody who you know is actually a devil. It's too difficult. It could be your wife or your husband or somebody else. But it beats, can this guy be the devil? Is it possible? Is it possible? Is it possible? The answer is yes, it's possible. It's him. It's him. It's possible. Are you here this afternoon? We must now begin to accept what you see is what you are getting. What you see. But we are quick to excuse and justify things. Oh, you know, he was tired. Oh, you know, he didn't mean it. Oh, you know, he was coming. We have all the other reasons to explain why it is not what it is. But it is. Jesus told them once, one of you is a devil. Then later on, he is the one. But still, if I was there, I would have done something. I said, look, hey, Braju, Charlie, what are you thinking? What are you thinking to go and betray the master? And then he will deny. Then there will be an argument. At least, he will, in his argument, something will expose him. Like, say, oh, No, no, the money in Christ is not much. You ask me which? Which money? You know, as we are interrogating him, that's what the immigration guys do. As we are interrogating him, so Judas, you had this shoe. How did you buy it? Yeah. Where is the shoe from? We're all wearing sandals. Only you are wearing black shoe. Where is the shoe from? So, no, it's not. It wasn't too much money. Then we catch him. If we were to react to all the signs we are seeing around us, no orango could thrive in this environment. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. We allow people to misbehave and progress on the stages of disloyalty. We allow them to be among us, say things, do things, stay home from meetings, cut out meetings. We allow them to flourish among us because we have the signs of the devils among us, but we are quiet. Either we can't believe, or we refuse to believe, or we don't believe, or maybe you're also the second one. Maybe there are two. I mean, it's 1 to 11, 2 to 22. We are more than 22, so there could be two here. You and him are the one and two. I don't know what it is. Amen. But we have been given enough signs. Bishops, nobody should be able to be among us and not be correct. Nobody. Nobody should be able to be a pastor among pastors in this generation. And we will not smell your difference. But it's because we are quick to accept and allow. We are open to differences. We are flexible. That, oh, you know, we are having a meeting at 6, but I'll come at 7 or at 8. And then we say, so, I mean, I understand. I understand because, you know, these days things are hard. I understand because mama's work. And because finances are tight. So we understand. Tell somebody, from today, we have stopped understanding. Amen. I mean, from today, we have stopped understanding these things. And the devils that are among us, they should be exposed. Amen. There are not many. But there's somebody knows clearly, I have a friend who is not correct. You mind me again this afternoon? I said, somebody knows clearly, if we're to go to heaven and stand before judgment, somebody must say that I knew. Oh yeah, I mean, he was the one texting. One day I saw him. Who are you texting to? Nobody. Then when I check and see, I saw LA. I said, who are you texting to? LARR. Then who was the last? He's the one. He's the one. But then you just ignore that. Oh, it's not. It's lacking. It's lacking. Yeah. Or it is something. You excuse it. No. Jesus had given us all the signs. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, this afternoon, I want to show you something. Isaiah 14. Number one, the effect that this devil has on us. Isaiah 14, verse 17. That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof. When that devil is allowed to operate amongst us, he will turn the things, the beautiful things that we have, it will be turned into a wilderness. When he's allowed to walk freely in and out amongst us, a beautiful relationship, a beautiful friendship, a beautiful fellowship that we have suddenly becomes a breeding ground for suspicion. Suddenly we are asking, who is it? And it turns everything into a wilderness, a desolate place, a dead, salted ground. When he has finished, two friends, you know, one of the most wonderful thing is when a married couple divorce. What you can have is they go from two very good friends to almost becoming enemies. Where even your presence is obnoxious. Yeah. Where a couple who were formerly lying in bed, holding themselves. They don't want to, you don't hold yourselves in the night. I don't know what you do at night. Every couple did their behavior. Me, I don't hold my wife at night. We lie back to back. Yeah, everybody has a style. Yeah. Those who are close together, tight, walking hand in hand. I mean, your last money is chocolate for hair. And then you are walking home in the rain. Suddenly, this person is the wizard you are telling your children about. Beware of this wizard. Suddenly, this one has become the witch who is poisoning. Look, even your food, when you cook your food, take it out of my sight. Yeah. He turned the world into a wilderness. It is amazing that sometimes very good friends, by virtue of conflicts and other such fightings, cannot speak again. I mean, for me, one of the most painful things is when I see my brother, Archbishop, unable to talk to his brother. I mean, I know how close they were. How close they were. Speaking not once a day, but 3-4 times a day. I know how close they were. How they were tight. And suddenly now, I must rebuke you on Facebook. Now I must address you on my brother. I must address you on Facebook as to what you are doing. I don't like it. Don't add me. How come I can't talk to my brother in the privacy of our room? I can't talk to my brother. We can't chat. My brother, I'm talking to him. I can't speak to him again. Something has entered into a relationship and poisoned everything and turned it into a wilderness. Totally destroyed. Destroyed. And all we have is now a semblance of something. When a devil is amongst us and has finished it, you see, as you are sitting here, look at your neighbor and say, hey, look, I mean, I really appreciate you. I really like you. I mean, just put your hand on the neighbor and say, yeah, I mean, I really do. But if a devil is let loose, I mean, the twins who are sitting here, if a devil is let loose, one day you won't want to see me again. I mean, when they call his name, Bishop Maxwell, you say, you can't imagine it. As if I'm just saying words. You can't imagine what he will do when he has finished. You can't imagine what is going to happen to our beautiful, look, few churches are like what we have. I have to be honest with you. I shouldn't boast. So I pray always, Lord, keep me humble. But I am proud of my church. Oh, yes. I am proud of my church. I mean, I am, when I'm going somewhere and I see my fellow brother somewhere, the love I see in their eyes. Oh, I'm happy. I'm happy I didn't go to, I can't call any church's name, but I'm happy I didn't go there and I came here. I'm happy I met the prophet many years ago. I was a student. I'm happy that I have followed him all these years. I'm just so happy. Look at the family has given me. I mean, that's how come I have many brothers sitting right here on the front row. What a family is giving us. What a family. I don't know which other church where service ends. Once I sent somebody to visit a certain church, they closed at 12. He got there at 12:15. Nobody. Locked and scattered. 12:15, when they closed at 12, nobody was there. They were gone. I said, my church. My sister was here a few days ago. She was looking at everybody. She was waiting for me. It was not a good decision, but she was stuck with me. So she was with me till in the night, 8 o'clock. So I left that day. We left early. It was International Sunday. So by 8:30, we were getting ready to go. Then she was like, "Hey, what? Is that how you are?" I said, "Today is a very good day. Today is a very good day." And then she said, "No." Then she said something I've never noticed before. She said, "I couldn't see one sad face around all those in the office. Even the children were happy running around." Wow. Clap for this church. I mean, what a beautiful church we have. What a beautiful church we have. Amen. And she said, "I couldn't see one sad face here in this house." We are happy. Oh, yeah. We are happy. But when that devil is let loose amongst us, he will turn this world into a wilderness. Listen to this. Satan, or the devil, his work falls into two categories. Note this, because we often miss this very important thing. One, what he does to a man. Satan, what he does to a man. You know, in Mark chapter 5, we have this man of Gadara who was in the mountains, in the valley, in the hills, in the tombs. And prophet tells us this is a full-blown case of total demonic possession, where now the man is walking naked, cutting himself and shouting alone in the mountains. When Satan has full control of a person, you will destroy yourself. You will be the one. You see, I'm amazed at those who drink beer. I mean, I'm really amazed. Bring a beer bottle of water, they can't drink it. But two or three beer bottles of beer, even more, and they can drink all those bottles. But just put water in the same container and they can't drink it. Satan has given you ability to contain alcohol, because one bottle can't destroy you. You must drink more than one bottle before you begin to misbehave or behave foolishly. Amen. I mean, look at young people. Young people. Recently, I was reading, I think BBC, a young lady who said that pornography has destroyed her life. And so I was interested. So I went to read the whole article. She said, it's a lady. She said she began watching pornography, I think 8 or 9. Yeah, 8 or 9. She began watching. I thought only boys watch. But I'm told that's not true. The girls are watching too. Yeah, but this one was a girl telling the story. She said she began watching from age 8 or 9. And she has watched, now she's 17 or 18. She said that now, nothing satisfies. I mean, nothing. She said, right now, a normal human being coming to lie down to do normal sex. Do you know normal sex? You will not know. You will not know normal sex. You will not know. A normal man doing normal sex, lying down, normal. I said, now that thing is nothing to her again. No, 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 no. There must be something else. There must be some either instruments or other straps or other things. It's not just nakedness. No, 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 no. There either, okay, you are naked, then you tie a rope around your waist. Yeah. Or you are naked, then you use handcuffs to tie up. Because naked alone is not enough. Something else must add to make it extra. And that now, you ordinary boys, you can't fit in. Yeah. That is what has happened to a pair. You see, those of you who are watching, who are watching, you have not come there yet. You are watching small, small. It's still affecting you small, small. A certain man who was also into pornography, he said that now when he has sex, the girls don't behave like in the films. He said, the girls, they are there, they just do, but in the films, it's wilder. I mean, right now, when you're the girl here, they do whoosh. That is not. I mean, what I see in a film, I don't see the girls now. And then I said, listen, in the film, they are acting. They are acting. Even though you know they are acting, it has affected your mind. So I know they are acting. But when you watch a film, don't you cry sometimes? How many have cried in a film before? You cried. But they are acting. And you know they are acting. But still you cry. Still you cry. I mean, the man has been paid thousands of dollars to just come and say, and then you follow him and cry. Who has paid you any money? Nothing. Nothing. Satan. Listen. When he has finished with the man is destroyed. Because many of us, he hasn't gone far. He's still in the early stages or slow progress. Because church is still keeping him at bay. If not for church, he would have jiggered by now. He would have gone wild by now. Some of the guys would be drinking and smoking weed by now. If there was no pastor or shepherd watching you. As you are trying to go out and they just say, where are you? I'm coming. Coming. I mean, there are people who were going to sleep with their girl, but just as they were going, they had a phone call. Oh, they are calling me again. Then you have to turn around. You have been delivered from something. Yeah, you have been delivered. There is a devil that is working on a man, spoiling him, destroying him. But the second one is this. What he does through a man. What he does with a man. You are just a vessel and a channel of his wickedness. You are appearing okay, but you are just being used by him to destroy other things. That is why we have prostitutes who are the actual participants in the whole fornication business. And we have the pimps who are standing somewhere, orchestrating it, organizing it, sending the contact, collecting the money, coming to tell you, you want tall, I have tall, I have short, you want fat, you want thin, what do you want? And then I'll find the one, and they are the ones, collect 100 CDs, give the girl 20 CDs and walk away with 80 CDs. Yeah. They are the ones who are using people. The devil uses them to destroy people. That is why, you know, this young man, Amnon, I feel sorry for him. Amnon fell in love with a girl by mistake. How many have liked a girl from far? Can I see your hand? Some girl be from far. You like her. Oh, are there so few? You like a girl? I mean, as she's moving around, what a nice girl. I mean, she's nice, she's tall, she's fair, she's beautiful. I like her, she's far away. I can't touch her. She's far. Yeah. Oh, they are pretending. I know them. Yeah, they are here. But it was, Jonadab who said, "Listen, you like that girl. I can help you get her. I can help you get her. How? Do this. Lie down and say, Mitipa emi wa her. Lie down. When you are walking, walk. You see, you are walking okay. But when she's around, begin to limp. Begin to limp. And when others come, say, oh, no. When she comes, say, please, sister, help me. I can't walk. I need a, look, it's gotten worse. Jonadab. He said, I can show you. And you see, every bad boy, everybody who went into a sin, somebody took you there. Oh, yeah. Very few discover these things by themselves. Very few. Most of us, a friend took you. Your first smoking, your first drinking, your first fornication, your first jumping the gate, school gate to go to town, your first excursion, your first nightclub, your first disco. Very few woke up and they are going to disco alone. There was somebody who took you there. Yeah. I hope that guy is not here. So there is somebody who will lead you into these things. One of my friends told me, he was in secondary school, and there was a senior. And somehow, for some reason, the senior was trying very hard to make him smoke weed. The senior would catch him and say, listen, try one. Say, okay, follow me. He said the senior tried. Luckily, he never did it. And it's like, is that what he does to everybody or just me that he's doing this thing to? But he tried. He was forcing to make him smoke the weed. Some of you, he won't try hard. Just a little effort. Charlie. I must confess that it happens. Oh, yeah. My first cigarette, that's how I got it. Yeah, they gave it to me. And I took it. Yeah. Where I was, I couldn't say no. I couldn't. Some places you can't say no. So I shouldn't go there. But I was there by mistake. By mistake. No. Satan. You see, that this afternoon, I'm talking to all of us. Many of us are not devils. Most of us are not devils. Almost all of us are not devils. But one person is. One person is. And my aim is to let you know your end. Your end. And to the rest of us. To the rest of us, if you see the signs are in the book. The signs, my time is, I want to hear what Bishop Kweku has to say. But the signs are in the book, so I don't need to, from chapter 6, all the way down to the end. Are the signs of the devil amongst us? But they are clear. Once you bother to look and see who is the devil amongst us, and once you decide that what I see, I will believe. What you see, we see, but we discard. It cannot be. It's not. It cannot be you, but it is. It is. The disciples couldn't believe Judas Power is the one to do this thing. Judas Power, I can tell you something. One of our brothers, former brothers, he was beloved of the Father. Oh, yes. I can tell you at a certain meeting, I was jealous of the treatment he was receiving. I was saying, I wish I had something like that too. I mean, the father loved him. Oh, yes. I loved him. Cared for him. Helped him. There was a meeting where everybody rose up against him. And the father calmed us all down. That, listen. Allow my son. Allow my son to get what he wants. Yeah. Allow my son. Yeah. Are you here? Let me just close with two things. Okay? Two ways a person becomes a devil. Two ways a person becomes... I want to hear Bishop Kweku, so I'm also in a hurry to listen to him. But let me tell you two ways. Matthew 16 and 23. But he turned and said unto him, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou sufferest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Just a few verses earlier, Jesus was calling him a rock. And just now, he has called him Satan. And then, not too long after, he was back again as a pillar in the house. For some of us, your satanic moments are just a brief encounter. For just a moment. It is a devil entered you and you behaved foolishly for just a moment. Peter was just a devil for just that. Never again did Jesus call him a devil. Just that moment that they called him a devil. A fleeting moment, a short time where he behaved badly. Everybody has times when mad thoughts come through your head. True or not true? Everybody has a time when you are thinking, if I get this thing, I'll squeeze it, and suck it, or hold it. Or it's not true. A mad thought will come through your head. Am I the only one who has mad thoughts? Mad thoughts. I mean, as you are there, you are a normal human being. But once in a while, some madness will come upon you. But thank God it's controlled. Yeah, it's under control by the Holy Spirit and your shepherd watching you. Yeah. I mean, you are there, no, then you are there. It's like you see some girl wearing some micro mini and some handkerchief covering her breast. You say, oh, if I get out, well, your madness is coming. Your madness is coming. Yeah, it's just but you see, luckily, because you don't get the chance to wear it right away, when you walk away a few steps, then you're back to normal. You say, oh, this thing cry is not nice. It's not nice. The girl cries, she's sewing too much. It's just a passing madness. Yeah. I mean, some of us, you come in there, then you can read some of these things and say, hey, maybe it's true. But then if you think carefully, it's not true. It's not true. I mean, how can they... It's not true. But for a second or two, as you are reading, a madness comes upon you and say, Charlie, we are suffering. Oh, hey, is that how they are ruling us? Charlie, Archbishop's car, is this... your madness is coming. It's just a temporal madness as you are reading from somebody's writings. But it's temporal. Just a few seconds. Just hold on. It will pass. Don't act on it. That's the key. Don't act on it in the moment. I mean, how many boys have ever been with a girl and you felt like reaching out to touch? Don't mind me. Don't mind me. I mean, it occurred to you. It occurred to you. You didn't do it. But that's the madness that can enter into your mind. That, what is behind here? attitude. Yeah. Yes. Or just feel it and weigh it or touch it. It's temporal. It's not a problem. Don't act on it. Just stay cool. It will pass. I mean, you feel like doing something. One day, one of my friends said something. He was in a university somewhere in Ghana. And it was a mixed hall. He said one day, he was either in his room or something. In his room on the balcony. Then a young lady, either next door or on the balcony, just walking, shouted, "I feel like sex." The high fever is coming. She was walking. I feel like sex. She didn't say it that way, but this is how I'm saying it. I can't say what she said. I can't say it. They are watching me on the camera. She said, "No, I feel like it." And then, you see, there are many of us who have had that feeling. Don't mind me here. Yeah. Don't mind me. Yeah. I mean, they all look at me and not minding me. But it's okay. I'm the one, Bishop. It's okay. Yeah. But you don't act on that feeling. You don't act on it. It's a devil. You are devilish in that moment. And you see, if you are at the wrong time, at the wrong place, where you shouldn't be, and that feeling comes, walk out. Walk out. Or it will overtake you. Yeah. It is. I'm coming. As a temporal flashing madness. But the second one is the truly evil person. 2 Samuel 13 and verse 3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. That word subtle is the same one used for Satan and the serpent. That word subtle. This guy was bad. He wasn't just passing badness. I mean, even the plan he had to advise Amnon how to go and seduce the... So, I mean, a proper person wouldn't think of such a thing. But he's bad. And you see, if you have some of you have such bad friends. And say, "Oh, they are my friends from school. I've known them for a long time. And up until now, he's not affected me." One day, he will. One day, that bad friend. And you see, if that bad friend is there in your moment of madness, the two of you will combine to go mad. The two of you will combine. Yeah. Amen. But you see, what I'm trying to say is to every pastor, every leader, amongst your people, one of them could exhibit these signs. Sometimes they are not bad. They just have a moment of badness. Cure them by a wild reaction. If we get a chance, we'll look at the culture of allegiance. How to create a culture in your church. A culture whereby these things can't flourish. Let there be a wild reaction so the person will not ever try it again. That we have people around us who, by virtue of passivity, have gone on to act out their fantasies because nobody stopped them dead at the place where they are. Then again, too, there's the really bad guy. There's the pretender who is with you, who is really trying to undermine you and take your church or your business or whatever. That person, he's not changed by rebuke. He's not changed by anything. That's the person whereby you cast out the scorner. Yeah. Chasing him, okay? I mean, that person, there is no reconciling. The person is there. I mean, you may have an assistant who is repeatedly my time is finished, but he's repeatedly going in a certain bad way. There is no hope to redeem him. Dismiss him. Dismiss him. That is the best you can do to save yourself and the ministry God has given you. Are we kinder than God? God who has made a hell and a lake of fire for those whom he will dismiss. And you can't dismiss. You want to save everybody. No. There will be a person who must be ejected out of your system. But there are many more who must be taught. They are the ignorant ones. Who must be taught, must be trained, must be forgiven, must be coached, encouraged. And those ones, when you work with them, like Peter, their temporary madness will pass away. They'll become sober and sane, and they will do well. Thank you. Your clapping is very... I don't want to say it, but I'll say it. But you know something? I'm glad it's only one and not two. I'm glad that there are very few devils. I'm happy that most who are misbehaving, it is ignorance and not badness. I'm really happy for that. I'm really happy that some of the pastors and shepherds who are difficult to control, don't obey, don't comply, don't come, don't do, give reasons, excuses. It's not wickedness. It's not badness. It's not rebellion. It's ignorance. You have no idea what you are doing with. One of the interesting passages in scripture is when Adonijah told Bathsheba, go and ask for, what's the girl's name? Abishag, for me. Tell Solomon to give her to me. Listen, Bathsheba, she got up and went to ask for Abishag for Adonijah. She had no idea what she was doing. I mean, they were playing games around her, involving her in a game too high for her to understand. And she went to ask, tell her, give your brother, but you have many wives, 7,000, 700 wives, give him only one. Someone said, no, you don't know what you are doing. You don't know what you are saying. Some of us who are here, when there's a meeting called and you don't come, you don't know what you are doing. What you supposedly gain by being away, that 1 hour, 2 hours that you don't come to go and watch a film or do something else, in your mind is a positive trade-off, but it's not. What you have missed, like Thomas, you may never get again. You may get the message, you may get the words, but the spirit that was transferred that day, Jesus breathed on them, you were not there. And it's oftentimes, it's not the words that change, it's the spirit that is conveyed. It is something else that is undergoing a change inside us. I want us to be very alert, very much on our feet and our toes, not allowing any such thing to lead us astray, but to become a church of people who are committed. Let me end with this one thing. Are you listening to me? This one last statement, which if we can do it with strength, it will solve every problem in this house. Shall I tell you?
Yes.
Shall I tell you?
Yes.
That one thing, that if we all do, I tell you, every such flavor, slant, taste of oranguism will disappear immediately. Do you know what it is? Love the Father. Love Him. Love Him. Not like Him or know Him or respect Him. No. Your clapping shows cry that you don't love Him. Oh yeah, your clapping is not. No. If you love Him, if you love Him, you cannot stand what is happening. If you love Him, you cannot let your friend make a comment. I mean, I can't imagine somebody coming to stand by me and making comments about my brother bishops. I can't imagine, and you finish the sentence. No, it will finish. If I'm stronger, it will end. If I'm not stronger, it will end. But I can't finish and say, I mean, if you love somebody, nobody can come and around you and make sarcastic comments, questioning comments, doubting comments. No. If all of us here begin to love Him, and some of you should love Him more than your fathers, because He loves you more than you can imagine. Love Him like that. Your life, your ministry, your whole world will change in a way that you can't imagine. Put your hands together.